Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Third Degree Burn. My name is Brian Hughes and I'm right here with my good friend Tim Elliott. Hey Tim.
Hello. Hello.
This is not a regular episode. We're not going to cover a regular book. We are actually going to cover something very current, very new, and very surprising. What we found is that in the past couple weeks, John Byrne has been doing new artwork. Now, for those of you that don't know or haven't been listening to us, living under a rock or doing whatever, John Byrne has been unemployed, as he refers to it. He didn't want to say retired. He didn't want to say anything else. He wanted to say unemployed because he was just wasn't working. For the last few years, he had not been doing much in the form of artwork. He'd been doing commissions, but even that stopped, even though he's got some that he is going to do, that he's promised to do for pay. And then the work that he's been doing on Star Trek New Visions, the Fumetti books that are the photo montage issues, new series episodes of Star Trek, the original series. And these have been incredibly good. I've enjoyed the series, but the series does end at issue 22, which is about to come out or has already come out. I'm not sure.
I think it came out maybe last week, didn't it?
Maybe last week.
I think last week.
I know I'd ordered it, but I'd only ordered a digital copy, and I haven't looked in my thing to see if it was there yet. But he basically said that he was done for a while, that the passion was gone, that he didn't have the juice to continue doing it. And I can understand a lot of that based on his feelings on the subject that we've seen over the last few years. He, as he described it, had been burned so many times by both DC and Marvel that he really didn't have it in him to work for either of them anymore. And a lot of things would have to change for him to go back to work for either of them. And he'd been working at IDW. He'd done a lot of Star Trek work, some Angel work. Was there any other thing that he did outside of those? He did the cover for that Transformers. It was like an Ohatmu type cover.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah,
he did his coloring book that came out last Christmas.
That's right, Stowaway to the Stars, and there's a new version out that's colored.
Colored, right? I've got the coloring book.
Yeah, so you can get either version. They're both still out there available, so you should be able to find them.
But they have been pumping out a lot of his. Like omnibus, I recently got the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
John Byrne Avengers omnibus, and it hasn't come out yet, but I think you've got or gonna get the artist edition.
It is the artifact edition.
Artifact edition.
And that is basically a good number of pages. I think 125 or so pages of John Byrne artwork from his run on the X-Men. Now, they normally have the artist edition of books, like his artist edition of Fantastic Four, where they do every page of a particular book. But they couldn't do that in this case, because for whatever reasons he has, Terry Austin would not release the pages that he's gotten for that. He's kept those pages, he's not sold them, and he would not release them. Because when they worked on stuff like that, they would get basically every other page. You know, Byrne would get one page, Austin would get
I wonder how that works with an inker. You know, who gets it, the inker or the or the sort.
And for whatever reason, Terry Austin did not release his to be used in that. So instead, they came up with this artifact edition, which is going to have a lot more material in it, but not any one full story. And I'm looking forward to it. My wife had promised me this, I think, as my Christmas or birthday or some gift she's getting for me. So it's a very, very nice gift. So I'm looking forward to that. Are you getting it?
No, well, I haven't really looked at it because those usually tend to be a little pricey. Because it's printed oversized?
It's oversized. It's the same size as the actual drawing
pages.
Paper. Yeah, the pages.
It's 17 by 11, I think.
And I mean, it just looks gorgeous. There's a guy on the, I believe, the Burn Victims Facebook group that works for IDW, and he's been giving status updates on it. But though I think It may get delayed because of something that Byrne had said today, and that was that, let's see if I can find this real quick. Okay, so actually, yeah, July 12th, yeah, today, he asked IDW to change, I'm paraphrasing this, to change the copy. Oh, just on their ad. Okay, so it's not going to affect the actual edition itself, just the ad. And what it is it goes back to his work on the X-Men Day and a severe misconception, and that was that, when Byrne was working on Fantastic Four, Fantastic Four was averaging about 250,000 issues in sales each month. X-Men at the same time was averaging about 400,000. And so a lot of people said, oh, so when Byrne moves to a book, the sales go down. And that wasn't actually the case because the sales on X-Men were not that high. I think when he was on X-Men, when he was on Uncanny X-Men, the sales never really got much above 130,000, based on what
Well,
he's saying.
I think by the time he was on FF, the X-Men were enjoying the popularity that he and Claremont had created
Yes.
that made it such a juggernaut that
Yes,
they were just riding
absolutely.
that wave. So he was already gone. So it wasn't
But
like,
if he had been there, the sales would have been as high, if not higher. Yeah.
probably higher.
But I mean, it's one of those things, and this is a subject of contention for Byrne himself, is that he feels that comic book store guys have a tendency to say Byrne books don't sell. And they do sell. They've actually got a built-in audience. Now, that audience has, dwindled over the years as many of us have grown up and stopped buying comic books. But usually he's got a built-in audience. Now, all this being said, he lately has had an itch, an artistic itch, and he started scratching it. And it started several weeks ago. Let me see if I can see the date. June 16th is when this actually started. He posted out his first pick, which was a penciled page of Wolverine grappling and fighting with Sauron, and Cyclops down on the ground, mouth agape. And Wolverine and Cyclops appear to be in the X-Men costumes that they wore right at the time when Byrne left X-Men. Wolverine in the brown costume. And he's pretty scratched up. And then, of course, Cyclops in the dark blue costume with the nice, I always thought of as an alien eyes, Cyclops visor.
Yeah, it's just standard kind of the costume he wore for so long.
Yeah, but it was the second style of visor. The first style was just a long slit, and that was it. The second one almost had kind of like a binoculars effect around the eyes.
Right, it looked like a big, almost like a big pair of sunglasses,
Yeah,
but it had the
because
kind of rounded cups that went over his ears.
yeah the yeah now it's the one that he started wearing in all new, all different X-Men, after Giant Size X-Men. Anyway, so it's that Cyclops and that Wolverine, and it looks, of course, like they're in a savage land, and Wolverine and Sauron are up in the air while Cyclops is down on the ground, and Cyclops, of course, is reaching his hand up like he's about to fire his blast. But now this is, of course, the very first sketch that he set out. He said that this was no, there's no significance other than scratching that itch. Not for sale. Don't bug Jim. He's talking about Jim Warden, who sells all of his artwork. Which, if you want to buy any of Byrne's artwork, Jim Warden is the guy to go through. And he's starting to put stuff up on eBay on a weekly basis that's not on the gallery website that they usually sell through. So there's a page of Wonder Woman out there right now that's on an eBay auction. But so when you look at this one, though, and it's like, you can tell, I mean, I can tell it's like the first time he's pulled up this in a while to work on something. And he spent a lot of time on it, drawing it, erasing, and redrawing. but it's not the most tight of pencils. But at the same time, it's freaking gorgeous.
It's not tight pencils, but I think if he inked it or somebody else came along and inked it, it would be, I would say, consistent with what he's been, his output now. Because I think his pencils are a little looser than, say, the era of when this is kind of mimicking back in the, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And then a lot of that has maybe to do with who inks it, because Austin, you're so used to looking at Austin inking it and everything looks so crisp and tight that
it was hard to tell when Byrne stopped and Austin began.
Yeah. If this is just him, only problem I've got with it is Sauron doesn't look the way he did when he originally drew him. It's hard to. He doesn't look.
Yeah,
he doesn't have that pterodactyl kind of head. He's got hair and he's big, but kind of buggy eyes.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Yeah, you're right. It's gorgeous. It's. I mean, now I'll ask you. This is interesting. Why do you think if he just had, he wanted to scratch this itch. He wanted to see if he could, if he could draw again. Which is, I think it's kind of silly. It's like, of course he can draw, but why do you think he went back to this subject? Why not an FF? Splash page, why not Next Men, why not create your own stuff?
I'll tell you, and it goes to a theory of mine that I've been developing since you and I started this voyage several years ago, is that, what I have found is that when Byrne has a passion for something, when the juices are flowing and he's really, got some interest in it and passion to do it, that, his pencils are just, gorgeous. And that when, he doesn't have necessarily as much interest in it, when he doesn't have the passion for it, when other things are weighing on him other than, the comic book world, it's not there as much. We saw that, in that mid-90s era, we saw that his pencils, something happened there. And then when he started doing Generations, he seemed to pick up again. And the work that he did on the Blood of the Demon, or Jack Kirby's Fourth World, there was a lot of beautiful stuff in there. Wonder Woman started off rough, and then he got into a little bit of a groove, but there was still something missing from it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But in Byrne's estimation, though, he feels that, well, at least on the later pages that he did, that the pencils seemed to be as good as the work that he did on Doom Patrol. And he felt that was some of his best work ever. And so I have not read the Doom Patrol yet, and I've been wanting to. I don't actually have it to sit there and read it, neither digitally or... I got physical copies in my collection, but my son is in the process of doing my books, and he hasn't gotten that far yet, so... I'm not exactly sure which of my boxes they're in, and that's not a fun journey to go through right now. But I want to be able to check those out. I guess I'm going to have to buy them digitally or see if I can find a digital trade or something that I can look at, because that's the way I seem to be enjoying reading these now. I've got the omnibus with all the Avengers. I was able to read the West Coast Avengers run in that, and that was gorgeous, finally getting to see that as it was meant to be seen, in my opinion.
I recently was at a real tiny little, it wasn't even a comic show, it was a toy show, last weekend, somewhere in, I can't remember now what, but it was a tiny little toy show, cost like $2 to get in, and I just went to, just vanilla, I went to kind of look it around, and they had some comics there, so I was flipping through some stuff, and the guy had some 50 cent bins, and I picked up one or two. Like, I found a New Mutant I was missing and a couple others, but he had a huge run of Byrne, and he had probably close to the first from one to, I would say, high 20s of Alpha Flight.
Oh yeah.
He had a bunch of almost all his whole run of West Coast Avengers. And so I picked up some of those West Coast that I was missing, and I picked up, just because it's just gorgeous artwork, I picked up a big chunk, about 20 issues of his Alpha Flight, because not for me because I've got them, but a friend of my boss, his kid, who's probably 11, 12, 9, is kind of getting into comics. And so if I run across stuff, if I've read it and don't want it, I'll pass along and say, here you go, if your kid wants to read them. I pick those up because it's one, it's almost a sequential run. And I gave them to him and I said, hey, I pick these up. One, it's a great story, or the stories are great. The artwork is great. And if his kid's kind of mimicking the artwork and trying to learn how to draw, I said, well, you can't go wrong if you're trying to draw like John Byrne. And I find myself with Byrne stuff, particularly if I find cheap issues, I want to buy them because I want to give them to somebody. I want to, like, here, read this because, this is 50 cents. This is cheaper than it was when you bought it.
And this is what comics is meant to be.
Yeah, you just want to share it. You don't want to see them thrown away. It's like, just read this and then pass on to somebody else if you don't want to keep it, because this is just, it's just, there, sometimes there are certain movies I'm that way with. It's like, I want to buy this movie and give it to everybody because I love it. Especially Byrne comics are that way. You just want to, you just want to pay them forward. It's like, here you go, read this and enjoy it.
Wow,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, no, I'm right there with you. I mean, I'm always trying to educate the masses, so to speak. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a comic book shop and asked somebody behind the counter, "Well, do you have any good burn back issues?" And they go, "Who?"
Oh, that's.
Now, that's not at the stores that are around here now collecting comics. That's just down the street from me, and then there's another one a few miles away. Those are they're big burn guys there, both shops. The owners, Ronnie, and I forget the other fellow's name. I feel bad about that too, but they are both big burn fans, and so they put usually try to get some good back issues and put them up on their walls at good prices. So I'll walk in there each week and see if they got something that I didn't have or something that I wanted to get as a reader or something. But going back to this. A couple weeks ago, he'd put out another thing on his website, Burn Robotics, basically asking, if I were to go back to comics, what would you guys like to see me do? And it was the same thing that we've been seeing all over, not just here, but on the different Facebook forums. Everybody wanting to go back to X-Men, Fantastic Four, Justice League, Avengers. Something in that big Marvel and DC wheelhouse that just has always shown where his greatness lies. And there wasn't anything new or different or challenging. Nothing that he hadn't done before. And I think that when he started testing the waters there to see what people started, were thinking about, I think that maybe, it gave him this little idea that maybe you can go back. And I say that because, and this is me just reading a little too much into things. And I'm definitely one for doing that. I'm definitely one for overanalyzing, and anybody that tells me so will get a nod and a wink. But years ago, when he wrote Starbrand, he wrote himself actually into the book. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, some kind of a Pittsburgh con or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Con, and he actually met Ken Connell in the Starbrand costume. He and I think it was Mike Carlin or whichever editor he was working for at the time. And the thing is that before Ken Connell came in, a kid was asking him, "Why don't you go back to the X-Men?" And he says, "I never go back." And I kind of sat there and read that as Byrne saying to everybody, "I don't go backwards. I go forwards onto new things. I don't want to go back and do my old stuff." And the closest that we really ever got to that was X-Men: The Hidden Years. But that was still him doing a new book. I mean, it's not X-Men as he did it with, Terry Austin and Chris Claremont. It was that other stuff, and he did it very much in the style of Neil Adams and Tom Palmer, and even had Tom Palmer inking him. And he's even gone on record as saying that if he was ever to go back to Marvel or DC, the only thing he'd probably do is go back and pick up X-Men: The Hidden Years. And that would be pretty cool because he'd be able to pick up right where he left off. He didn't lose anything, on that in continuity.
Well, he wouldn't have to worry about making sure everything fit in continuity.
But I mean, that's the thing, is that he was making it fit in continuity. That was the beauty of it. I mean, I guess you might have questions about where Storm fit in and all that, because he brought her into the book. But I
Well,
think
no,
that still fits.
what I mean is that he wouldn't have, if he's writing and drawing that as opposed to the current issue, then he has a lot of editorial interference by, well, you've got to tie him with this crossover with that. If he's doing the hidden years, he can kind of do whatever he wants to do because it's all in the past, so he gets more freedom.
And I mean, the thing is that him doing this work right here that we see him doing, and you know, it's obvious that you know there's definitely a lot of passion in this because the pencils are looking really good. Have you looked at the second page? Now, in this case, the second page is the one with mostly Cyclops and Storm, where he's looking through the bushes, and then Storm comes flying overhead, and she gets her eyes get caught face to face with Sauron's eyes.
Let me see if I find that one. Okay, yeah, I've got it now.
Yeah. So that was his second page there. And,
It looks
gosh.
like he's just kind of retelling, just borrowing from the, the Savage Land issues that he, which are what, 10, is that around 108, 109, 110? Is that something like that?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is, you know, he says, you know, this isn't any special moment or place or time or anything. It's just part of him scratching an itch, but he is creating some kind of sequential story.
He's telling us some kind of a story.
Yeah, but again, we'll get a little derailed on that as we move forward. But you know, there's that, and again, I'm not an artist, so I don't understand. If you're looking at that page, two-thirds of the way down, there's that little 60-degree thing just before Sauron's
Yeah,
eyes.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's like a it would be a maybe that's some kind of an inker's mark.
Ink,
If it's somebody who's if somebody's coming on to ink, maybe it means something.
I mean, either for the inker or the colorist, and
Yeah.
you know, something along those lines. But you know, it doesn't. I don't know what it actually means. There was some point where people did ask some questions, but it was on later scans that he did. But do you think Storm's cape in that second panel is a little too big and flowing?
It's a little too big around her shoulders. Yeah.
Her arms seem a little small and not as well defined. So I guess that's a little bit looser on the pencils there.
Yeah, but if you look at it, you can't really tell that he did some rough breakdowns and then went over them. They don't really look like there are any. Maybe he unless he did breakdowns to kind of figure how he was going to do his layout and then went back to these pages and penciled them.
When
Because
he started the Fantastic Four, a couple issues in, he started creating his own pencil shorthand that he would do before he'd ink something. And that's part of what made his style become what it did in the later issues, as opposed to
yeah.
those first several issues. Because that first several issues almost had to feel like Terry Austin was inking them.
Yeah.
And then after Terror in a Tiny Town, after that, you could see that his penciling started to change, or the artwork started to change a little bit. Of course, you know, we had the differences that went on with the Thing after Childhood's End. I think that was the name of that issue, or at least that's what it said on the cover.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's like he had a penciling shorthand. I don't know if he's using that penciling shorthand here, but it could be the case. It's just that, yeah, there's that kind of lack of definition there around her arms. But, you know, and there's no Kirby crackle at all. I mean, there's lightning. But you'd almost expect there to be a little bit of Kirby crackle in there, wouldn't you?
A little bit, but maybe that's something that's maybe that's something that's normally would put in by the anchor.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know how, when they go to embellish this, how much more that's going to be.
Now, if you guys aren't, again, and I'll state this several times, if you guys don't know what we're talking about here on this, if you'll go to burnrobotics.com and look at the forum that says pencil practice, or if you go to the any one of the John Byrne forums on Facebook right now, they're putting the pages out as Byrne is putting them out, and he's putting them out almost daily. As he's been working on these, and hopefully I can get this edited and put out rather quick. So it'll catch everybody, you know, right now when all this is very fresh. But yeah, so that's the second page right there, and I love the shot of Cyclops there touching his visor.
And, yeah, like he's fixing the.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I can't tell if he went to touch it and then saw a storm, so he stopped. And then, of course, she gets face-to-face with Sauron, and you can see the look on her face in the bottom panel. And that's almost got a Silver Banshee look to it. But that's just because it's just the pencils. It's, I love her eyes, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got her kind of cat eyes.
Yeah. It's haunted cat.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice that I'm looking over this thread? Because I haven't looked at these before. You sent these to me and suggested we have this little show. Do you notice that somebody has taken one of these pages and inked it?
Yes. They've been
Miguel Montenegro?
There's several people that have been trying their hand at inking certain pages, certain pieces.
Yeah, several of them here. I
and
see them.
They've even posted them back, and Burns critiqued them in some ways or other. Usually it's the other. when someone has really missed the point of the pencils, but yeah, it's
some of these are not bad. No, really, they've kind of captured his style.
Yeah, but it just goes to show me though, and it shows me though that when we get the comic books themselves, the finished book, that we're losing somewhat of Burns' mastery of artwork. And I'll use as a good example this next page where you see the next page is the one where Storm is there and something is like leaping at her, a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then down below you see Cyclops and he unleashes his optic blast at Sauron and hits him.
And he's falling or something. What is that? Something.
Yeah, Cyclops hits him and it looks like he's falling, but he seems to like disappear and all that. And I think that's part of Sauron's ability to cast illusion.
Well, this is, yeah. Cause if you look at this, this monster is Wolverine is transforming, or at least he's making it appear to her that Wolverine has transformed into this kind of monstrous version of himself.
Yeah. But look at the, on the right side of the page, as Storm is there taking up, you know, 2/3 of the page, the level of detail he's put into the cape, into her boots, her leg, everything is, she is close up to you. And, you know, even the side boob and her hair and everything, there's so much detail in that. When that gets inked, we lose all that. And, you know, if you look at, if you do a search right now for the Artifact Edition, they've got the front cover of X-Men, I think it's 136, where Cyclops is standing there holding Jean just like Superman's holding Supergirl in Crisis, mm-hmm. number, what, 8?
Yeah, 8.
Yeah, and, the detail, the pencil detail of that cover so blows me away compared to what we got from the comic book. And I was just like, man, you know, we kind of lose out when we get to the final product of the beauty of some of this art. Now, and Byrne was talking about this himself, and he says, if only we as the readers could see Dave Cockrum's pencils versus what we get in the inked and colored version. He says, because we're missing out on just a master artist in his original pencils. And I'd have to say that's the case, because sometimes Dave Cockrum's, you know, work leaves me a little cold, but again, it's inked by somebody else. It's not inked by him, and his pencils apparently are a lot more detailed than what we're seeing in the finished, you know, comic books.
Well, I think with pencils and why you lose this with inking, maybe because it's cleaned up and you don't see the imperfections.
Right.
With pencils, like we're looking at here, you have a much more personal connection to the artist, and once it's inked, even though the inker is an, also an artist, somehow he is sterilizing them a little bit, but and making them more of a finished product. You know, it's been packaged and it's been ready to go to press. So you lose a little bit of that individual. I used to have a figure art drawing teacher that said that, you know, drawing is one of the most personal things you can do. It reveals so much of your personality because you know, think of a signature and how powerful your signature is. Yeah. And that's just you scrabbling your name out. So when you're seeing these pencils, you're seeing the imperfections. You're kind of seeing his thought process. You're seeing his creative method for what he wants to do. And some of that is, and I think a lot of that's lost when it's inked, even though the ink page is just as beautiful. And even when it gets color, it's just as beautiful, but you lose that connection to the artist. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, that does make sense. So how about this page though? Is this page, it literally leaps out at you when he's got Wolverine turning into that thing.
Well, that pose reminds me a lot of the Skrull attacking the Kree soldier on the Dark Side of the Moon or the Blue Side of the Moon.
The Blue Area, yeah, and with Blue Area. X-Men 137.
Right, when those two are fighting each other, you know, while the X-Men are also defending themselves, there's a scene where the Skrull becomes kind of a four-armed orange monster or something and jumps at the Kree.
Yeah.
That's what this reminded me of.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love the middle image of the Wolverine monster thing, because you've got Wolverine at the left, and then the middle image is that morph between them, and then it becomes that, and then of course we shift to Cyclops shooting Sauron, and Sauron kind of fading away, and golly. Cyclops' hand looks a little funny to me. And
his fingers are not well defined, but
yeah. And when Cyclops' blast hits him, do you see letters there to the right?
Yeah, it's Skrock.
Skrock. Okay, yeah.
Skrock. That, yeah.
I thought I saw an N in there, so I wasn't sure. Yeah. Okay, that's a W. Okay, that's good. Okay. And let me see if I can find that that next page. Though in this page, I saw, you know, kind of the artwork that we saw, like in X-Men Hidden Years.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where Byrne has a tendency to make the characters' heads a little larger, more of a caricature than what he did back in the day. I noticed that his heads, you know, don't necessarily look like the heads of the characters he made in the younger days. It's a little bit larger.
A little out of proportion?
A little out of proportion. But, I mean, that's just part of his style now. But, I mean, if you want to gauge his style, go back and look at his original Storm. And then look at the Storm that he did later years in that X-Men annual. I think it was when they had the whole Atlantis attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when he was doing Duo Shade. So that was around the Namor time. And then look at his Storm in Hidden Years and then here. And you can see how she has changed as each one's gone in each era. The Duo Shade era was really bizarre. Because very straight lines rather than the curvy, organic look that he'd always given her before. And then here it looks more like his Hidden Years work. But yeah, I can't say that I'm a big fan of the inked page. I think they could have done the inked page that Peter Martin posted. It's got, you know, some parts of it are good, but I don't think he handled Storm that well, and the transition between Wolverine and that monster, he could have done more with that. But I understand why he did it that way. I just didn't like that. And then he kind of left the detail off Sauron that was behind Wolverine.
Yeah. That's the second page, right? Or is that the third page?
That's the third page, I believe.
Well, because I'm looking kind of at the thread, and there's one where Storm is looked like it's almost like it's a second page to this, because Storm is kind of in the air, her arms are out, and she's looks like she's kind of blasting Wolverine, who had jumped at her. Cyclops is looking up, and then he runs, and I guess Wolverine fell to the ground and sees kind of a charred Wolverine with his
Yeah.
hand sticking up. Now, is that the page after this one?
I believe so. I'm see, I
Okay.
have to go back to where I was and
Well, it makes sense if in the previous page, if she thought Wolverine had turned into a monster and was attacking her, she'd attack him. Looks like she's hitting him with lightning. And he falls to the ground, and Cyclops sees him, and he looks like he's kind of burned. Because that what caught my eye was at the bottom, Burns says, what he calls it, the third page, but he says, if you get the urge to ink it, don't even think about bone claws.
Yeah, I saw that. And
Which, why would somebody do burn bone claws? I mean, this day, I mean, the era this is supposed to be in, why would you?
I think it was just him trying to show his disdain.
Well, for bone claws, I don't blame him.
Yeah, because he already drew what Wolverine looked like underneath. And it was, of course, it was like his entire skeleton. It was a Terminator-like skeleton. If you look at that one page from Days of Future Past, when Wolverine gets scragged by the Sentinel.
Well, let's just admit the fact that bone claws only came about strictly because they decided to strip him of his adamantium. Well, they didn't want to strip him of his basically his weapon, because if he doesn't have his claws, he's just a guy that heals fast and, can track. So they retroactively came up with, oh no, he's always had these claws. Now he just has bone claws. So,
Yeah. Which page is that art on Burns' website?
what page is it? Page 14.
14?
So I think I've got it on 14.
I'm on 11 right now. Okay, so 14.
Same page as Scott.
So the Kitty page actually got put out before. That's what happened. The Kitty page got put out before. Yeah, that see, that's beautiful. Just the look, Storm exploding in power, and I love all that. And that would be Kirby Crackle and other bits in the air all around, and Cyclops in a pose I was a little bit more accustomed to seeing Paul Smith do rather than Byrne.
Well, it's interesting, you can see his process for this explosion, this radiating energy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He has drawn it, and then he's gone back and erased where I assume if they ink this, they would ink everything and then maybe go back over it with like whiteout to
No,
kind
no.
of.
This is his paper towel trick, is what it
Is
is.
that what that is?
Yeah, do you remember that? Golly, I'd have to look that up. But he has a specific trick that he does with a paper towel, where he can sit there and make it hit and miss rather than erasing.
Oh, to kind of rub the pencil off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. And of course, Wolverine. Oi. That's definitely Savage Land.
Yep.
And then, of course, Storm looking very, very concerned
Well, she doesn't really, now she's kind of just now realizing,
that,
oh, I blasted Wolverine.
yeah. And look, even Cyclops' whole uniform is awesome with the boots and everything.
You know what's odd, and I noticed this in the first page we looked at,
What's that?
that splash page with Wolverine. Look at Burns' artwork from this era. He never draws heels on his boots. He draws boots as a solid, flat surface. And here he's got heels on Wolverine's boots, and he's got heels on Cyclops' boots.
I
And
always
also, I love the way he did his boot, because he would just draw them as a flat flat surface, and I always loved the way he drew his boots that way, but this is just probably something the way he's drawing stuff now.
Yeah.
But, or maybe he drew them and maybe Terry Austin didn't want to ink the heels, so he took them off.
I'm going to have to go back and look at that. I never even thought about that. Because I always think of Wolverine as someone that wears boots regardless, you know?
Yeah, but his costume, he would do... go back and look at any of his stuff in, when his X-Men run, and I guarantee you won't find any heels in his boots.
Yeah. But then let's go on to the next page. Now, the next page is Kitty Pryde, isn't it?
Is it the one where he's throwing her out the window?
No, it's a very mundane one. It's Cyclops walking in.
Oh, with the dialogue.
Yeah, with the he later on put out a version of it with the dialogue.
Okay.
Yeah, with the word balloons.
This is his dialogue, not somebody else's.
Right.
Okay.
And so, it's like he's got Cyclops walking into, looks like a control room, like Cerebro's control room is what it is. And the burn tech looks very, very burn tech. Looks really, really good. Kitty Pryde, again, he said he had to go back and look at her from his old artwork to make sure he's remaining faithful to it, but it still has that caricature bit to it. And it's funny because, like, the third panel's almost got a Bob McLeod, Sal Buscema look to it on Kitty's face, the way he's got her in a corner and she's frowning.
Is that frown? Yeah, frown on her face?
Yeah, the frown on her face. It doesn't look like Burns normal.
Mm-mm, not at all.
No. Now, Professor X is spot on. As he did Professor X in the Hidden Years, and Cyclops is you know incognito Cyclops.
Well, this would be would she be Sprite at this time, or she Shadowcat?
She's Sprite. He even says Sprite.
Sprite.
Yeah. Because he basically tells her to give him a proper briefing, and so she says, "Yeah, we're performing a general scan. When Professor X picked up something really cool in the Savage Land." And this goes back to Burns' portrayal of Kitty Pryde. He never intended her to be a super genius, like Claremont made her. He just intended for her to be a normal, everyday, average teenage girl.
I never struck me sure her being at least remembering from when her reading the issues that she was necessarily a super genius. She just had she had a knack for computers, but not that she was like Stark level or Reed Richards level.
True. But he did make her very smart at computers and stuff. Remember her and Doug Ramsey telling the guy at the arcade they could make his video games run better.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
She was kind of a Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
Wesley Crusher.
But that's still genius level, that's...
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, so... Cyclops comes in. Professor says, "Hey, we need to find out what this is." Cyclops get the team together. Kitty wants to go. Professor X says, "No, make your best speed, Scott." And next thing you see, the Blackbird is flying off. And I just love any opportunity to see an SR-71 in action. That's my favorite plane out of everything. So I've always loved the Blackbird, and it's mostly because of X-Men that it is my favorite plane. And at the bottom of that scan, Byrne writes, "Somebody make me stop."
And some auto kerning problems with my old font.
I didn't see anything wrong with the lettering, but he apparently thought that there was something not quite right with it. Though he did say he needed to move Kitty's word balloon up closer to Cyclops, so you know that it's intended for Cyclops.
Yeah. Well, kerning is the space between letters.
Ah.
Not the space between the lines, that's letting. The space actually between each letter is called kerning. It's a little tight, but not so bad you can't read it.
Right. Right. Now, he got his lettering template from somebody else, and he just lays it down. So he can sit there and put any word balloon anywhere, and it's the
Yeah,
level of
I'm
the
sure there's
sound
some kind of a
itself.
program.
Yeah.
Do you think Professor X's right arm is a little long?
Yes.
He looks almost like he's Reed Richards, like he's stretching out.
Yeah,
And I've noticed that.
and the back
Oh,
of
go ahead.
all that tech. Oh, that's just the field frame over the Savage Land. Okay, that's
Yeah.
what that is. Okay,
Yeah,
that.
that's what I thought for a minute. I thought, what are these plants doing in the Danger Room? Also, and this was a very interesting too. You can see how, especially in that first long where Cyclops is first coming in, you looks like you can see how he's drawn his perspective lines. He's almost drawn a grid, and you see it again in the panel below Kitty and one where Scott is running off. And that's just to help him lay out, I guess, his walls, his ceiling, and everything else.
Yeah, and it's real big, very obvious in the in that second to last panel when Cyclops is running out.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy there, but that would be, and he's not using, I don't know how many artists did this, but I know a lot of comic book artists would use a non-photo blue pen
Yeah,
so
non-recoil
that,
blue. Yeah.
yeah, so that would, it wouldn't, you get to worry about having to erase everything.
Well, yeah, and you can't Xerox it either.
Right.
It won't copy. If you've ever bought one of the Marvel tryout books, you'll see many, many pages in there that are done in that non-repro blue. So you can go in there and ink it yourself.
Right, and then just photocopy it. It's kind of like
Sorry.
I think you hear in films they say you get scripts of red pages. I think that's so if you photocopy it, it'll come out all black or something.
Yep.
But
Anyway, moving on to what's the next one?
so this really seems like the first page.
Yeah, I'm not
Or
sure.
it's a flashback.
It looks like it's a flashback, especially the way it wraps around to the Savage Land underneath that. And then some people doing some unsuccessful attempts to ink it. One guy putting gum in her mouth at one point.
At the next page, I haven't seen that one.
No, on Burns' form in there, let me see if I can find out which. Because it was like right the page afterwards where the guy did that, and
Let me look at the next page and see what it shows.
I think it's on page 15, but I could be wrong.
Well, somebody's inked just the one, just inked the top part with her head on it.
Yeah, and but they misinterpreted her neck for hair.
Oh, yeah, they have, haven't they? I wonder if that's actually ink or if that's a digital ink.
Yeah, I mean, most people are doing it digitally.
Instead of actually inking it.
Yeah. And I guess that's kind of cool, but I'm pretty sure it'd be hard to try. Okay, yeah, it's actually on page 13, and it's that same guy, Michael Montenegro, who I guess he kind of. John Byrne even asked, he said, "Why is Kitty chewing gum?" And the guy goes, "That's supposed to be her tongue." And he goes,
Oh,
"Not in my pencils,
yeah.
is it? For what should be now be obvious reasons."
Yeah, he just screwed that up.
Yeah. And so that leaves us with that's the last page, isn't it?
No, we haven't covered. Have we covered all of them?
The
That one?
last one is you see the
Yeah.
X-Men in the Blackbird, and this is, that team from the late 70s, early 80s. You got Cyclops, you got Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Wolverine in the brown costume, and then Kitty in the New Mutants, or her first,
Right,
costume,
her.
the X-Men trainee costume, her sprite costume basically, before she started making her own. And she is looking, it looks like she's looking out the window where they're flying, and then they do a close-up shot of Wolverine where apparently he's making a funny remark. And did he like pull her over to spank her?
He looks like he's, look at his hand. He's fixing to spank her. Then she goes intangible, so his hand goes through her,
Yeah.
and then she slips through the airplane.
Yeah,
Why
'cause
he's gonna give her a spanking, I don't know.
it looked like he was gonna, he thought he was gonna have a little fun with her, you know.
Yeah.
But it's funny because the expression on her face at first when she falls into his lap is one of surprise. And then you see her start to laugh as she faces away, and she's almost got an evil grin at the last part before she actually falls out of the jet, and then she.
That she's realizing, yeah, I just screwed up because,
Yeah.
she can't walk on air, so I guess she's not gonna fall to her death, but.
Right. And I mean, this right here is my favorite page out of all of them because it's got all of, you know, it's got a team there, and just the art on that that progression from the spank to her doing her thing and then falling out the plane, just gorgeous.
I wish he had drawn some. I mean, I guess he stuck with Wolverine Storm, but I wish he would have worked in some Nightcrawler because I love the way he does way he draws Nightcrawler.
Well, he, like I said, he's trying to scratch an itch, and this has been the work of a couple weeks. Now, the thing you got to remember is that he was accustomed to doing several pages a day, at least 2 pages a day, when he was doing regular artwork. And so this is something he's taking his time on, but more telling is what he's been saying about it. And let's see. There's one thing that he said today that was by far the most telling. And he goes, "Yeah, I should probably mention for the benefit of those of you who are starting to see this as me laying down a yellow brick road back to Marvel, that even if that happened, you'd not be likely to see these pages there." And then he gives a story. "When I set my eyes on the Demon at DC, I did a whole pilot issue on spec, 22 pencil pages. I showed these pages to the powers that were, and their reaction was, to say the least, enthusiastic. We were all set to go. Then one of the higher ups stepped up to say that we couldn't use the issue as I had drawn it when I was not under contract. I offered to sign any kind of release as necessary, but no go. So I ended up breaking up the issue and using the pages where applicable in other stories. Same thing is likely to be the case with Marvel." Now, what this says to me is, number one, he's willing to go back to Marvel right now if he can work on the X-Men, the Hidden Years, and has the freedom to do it as he wants to do it. And I don't see where Marvel would have to worry about reining him in because he's got the template of what he has to do right there in front of him.
Well, they wouldn't have to. He would have to have very little editorial interference because he's not doing anything that's going to mess up with whatever plans they've got for their current their current book. So he could do, unless he absolutely decides to do some kind of weird retcon, they could let him do whatever he wanted. That he should have free rein.
Right. He should be able to go back, and I mean, if he had his druthers, I'm sure he'd like to go back to before they kill the Phoenix and tell the story the way he'd like to tell it and continue on from there, his own continuity.
Or he could even do what he did with Spider-Man and kind of tell the stories in between the panels,
And that's what the Hidden Years was kind of doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. He should be a, he could do something like that. And I mean, again, you know, whether or not it would be as big a hit or whatever it would be, only time will tell. But it's up to Marvel to sit there and look at it. I kind of think that there's discussions going on between him and somebody at Marvel that started this, that started the ball rolling on this. And I
Could
think
be, and maybe why he's doing it just to, or maybe, and putting it on his forum is kind of stirring the water to see kind of fan reaction to it.
Yeah. Well, I think it went back to that other post that he did where he asked everybody, if I went back, what would I do? I think he had already gotten an olive branch from somebody at Marvel. Because Quesada's not in charge anymore, is he?
He's kind of moved up. He's not, I don't know what he's doing. He's kind of more...
He's not editorial.
No, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know who, is it, gosh, I'm not even reading him now. I don't know who,
Let me see
who he's doing that stuff. Is it Sabowski?
Yeah, Sabowski.
Sabowski or Sablaus or whatever his name is?
Yeah.
CW or WC or...
CB Sabowski.
Yeah.
And he wrote as Akira Yoshida for a year. So that might tell you a little bit about his predilections.
You know, it's certainly not going to hurt them because it'll sell as well or better than some of their worst. You know, there's unless Byrne is going to be wanting too much money, which I don't see that. I don't know what kind of arrangement he would have, or if. I mean, what's the worst they could do if they allow him to come back in and do what he wants to do and,
well,
you know.
I don't think he's going to get any higher page rate than any of their other artists.
No, and probably not.
The one thing that you know, they'll get is a book on time every month, which is something they're not getting from their other artists or writers for that matter. So, I mean, they're going to get professionalism. Maybe though he's worked it out where, you know, it's like maybe he only wants to do one book a month or, you know, he's got his own designs on what he wants to do. But it sounds like there's somebody there that is listening to him or at least talking to him and trying to work things out.
Because they could promote the crap out of, oh, Byrne's coming back to the X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if they could coincide that with the Fox deal going through, it's like Marvel gets the X-Men back, Byrne's coming back to the X-Men.
I'm checking to see if Terry Austin had said anything about would he return to X-Men. But, no, I can't see anything.
Yeah, and Byrne may not want to ink it himself. He may let somebody else ink it. I don't know if Austin would come back, but they could,
Yeah, I don't think he wants to ink it himself. And I mean, if they could get the guy that inked him on the Atom, he didn't enjoy working on the Atom, but he did like Trevor Scott's inks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought those are pretty nice inks. I actually liked Mark Farmer's inks on the Justice League Classified book that he did, though I do wonder if he might have did a little bit more with the faces and Burn Light, but
yeah,
I thought his inks were okay. Anyway, though, that this opens up the door for a lot of stuff, and you know, it opens up the door for Burn returning to Marvel, which is something that I know that I would like to have seen, and I just never would have thought would have been possible, given the politics of the industry there, and how things had gone for him in the past. But maybe there's
that could
coming in front of us.
That could lead to maybe after he does that for all, maybe he wants to start writing a book.
Yeah.
And have somebody else pencil it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he moves into, like you always suggested, more of an advisor or a consultant or a creative director type role to kind of guide. And that may or may not happen. I mean,
I think that he's actually decided against something like that because, you know, the whole thing that goes back to is the idea of him being Mr. Fix-It or Mr. Back to Basics. And he says he doesn't want to be that guy anymore, you know? So, I mean, again, you know, we've been talking a lot about the man's ideas and thoughts and stuff. And I know that's something that, you know, at the beginning we said we weren't going to do, but, you know, with the dearth of material that he's been, you know, produced over the last few years, we kind of have to get into his motivations here to understand where he's coming from in all this. And so, you know, I've been looking about and reading what he's been saying, trying to figure out, you know, if there's something I can glean that would say these things. And what they do say is he doesn't want to be Mr. Fix It or Mr. Back to Basics. He'd like to be able to just get a book where he can do what he wants to do.
Yeah, he just wants to draw comics. I
Right.
think that maybe it's that simple. He just wants to draw books.
Right.
And they should let him do that.
Tell a story and tell it well.
I
And
mean,
I
he
mean,
can certainly do that.
yeah, he's definitely, you know, demonstrated it here. And I guess the ball would be in Marvel's court to sit there and say, okay, we can do this. Let's do this. So, you know, right now, you know, it's just kind of wait and see. Every day right now, we're getting new bits of artwork from him in this. And I don't know if we can call it a sequential story or whatever it is, but whatever it is, every day is something new's coming out, and it's almost like Christmas to see it. So, you know, I feel lucky to be catching it as it's happening, and hope that it'll lead somewhere really cool. But we'll see.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him next month when I see him in Boston.
Now, are you going to tell him that you podcast about him? Are you going to wear the shirt?
Gonna wear the shirt. In fact, I'm thinking of having another shirt made.
Yeah.
Just same shirt, but I'm gonna get it a different color. Because the shirts we have now does say third degree burn, you know, Two Two Freaks at the bottom. But I was thinking of, and I was playing with the design yesterday of you know, so it would say a John Byrne podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So
Do we want him
I don't,
listening to us?
sure. I don't think we've said anything that I don't think we've said anything that he would think is mean-spirited
No.
or you know, we're being honest about it and we're telling it like it is, kind of way he is. I
I know.
think he would respect that.
I think the only thing that he probably would tell us is that we're patently wrong on some of our conclusions.
Well, that's that, he would know. We can't read his mind, so we're
Well,
gonna.
what do you guys think? I mean, hopefully you've been looking at these pages, and if not, you've gone in and discovered them right now. And hopefully you'll reply back to us. You know, tell us on our Facebook page. Tell us on our email. Gotta get burned at golly, I'm losing my voice. Gotta
I
get
know, I'm
burned
getting
at
kind of.
gmail.com. And just, you know, let us know what you think here. This is we're in new territory, and it's kind of exciting, but we just don't know where it's gonna head. Maybe we'll know in a few weeks.
Yeah, even if we just get these pages from him every couple, that's great, just as it is. But if he actually goes back and starts doing new stuff,
Yeah, well,
that's even better.
I kind of have a feeling that when he and Shatner get together in Boston, that they're going to make an announcement that they've been working together on a new Vision story.
That would be cool. Or
Like
even if
Shatner
he's
did with Judith and Garfield, Reeve Stevens, or the other, you know, people he's worked with.
Or even if he's going to draw it, maybe it's not going to be a photo novel. Maybe he's actually going to
I
pencil
don't think he'll do that.
something.
Because that would mean he's going to have to do photo referencing on Kirk and
That's
Spock and all
true.
that.
That's
I
true.
think he'd rather do the photo montage, because it actually gives him more freedom in that realm.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that too was he was. It was a new talent that he picked up. You know, he was learning a new tool. He's being creative, but he was doing it a different way. And I think that's how, you know, this. I think Byrne has to be. I don't think he could be idle for long. You know, he says he's got an itch and he's scratching, but I don't think he could just. You know, if he can still pick up a pencil and draw, I don't think he's an artist and he creates all the time. I don't think he's going to ever be able to just. Okay, I'm not going to draw anymore. I don't
Right.
think he can do that. I think he has to have some kind of outlet for all this stuff that's in his head.
Well, I know that drawing some characters actually causes him, I don't want to say pain, but it does bug him, because he's got such bad experiences working, you know, with those characters. Not because the characters themselves are good or bad to write, but because the editorial staff or the experiences around it. And, you know, the very reason why he walked away from Indiana Jones is that it was such a pain to try and do, to try and work on that, to try and work with the Paramount, I believe it was, you know, back in the day, to work on this licensed material. And they'd tell him that he had to redo everything. and then trying to do likenesses, you know, on different characters, and it was such
It could be a pain. Do you I don't know if we could post these. We could certainly put a link to these on our Facebook page. You don't think we could post these to Facebook, do you?
We're not supposed to.
Okay, you know, so we won't do that. But we can put a link, I think it'd be okay.
Yeah, you can put a. I would put a link to this thread, and that's what I'll do is I'll put it in the notes there. A link.
That way, whoever's listening to this can easily go find them.
Yeah, and that way they can see the full progression. Now that thread is at this point 17 pages long, and it's got these. What was it, five? Six scans. But they're spread all out through it, and they're not in order. And I mean, so you have to kind of collect them all and then put them in the order for yourself. But still, even so, it's gorgeous and fun. And, you know, again, it's not a complete story, but I think he's working up towards a complete story. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, but it's also nice to see the inks that people have inked over his and the different styles. Some of them are very... They really lose his style altogether when they're inking them. They're kind of, you know, and superposing their own. But it's interesting. It's always interesting to see how people's brains work.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, Brian, you got any, what are we going to call this thing? Is this a sidecast? Is this a mini episode? What are we calling it?
We'll call it, you know, a burning freak.
a first degree burn?
I'll think about that and message you. But yeah, this is, you know, of course not like our normal show, and we haven't talked about anything else. I know on our next show that along with doing whatever it is that you're wanting to pick, we're also going to discuss, you know, things like Steve Ditko and the you know, other movies and such that come out of Ant-Man and the Wasp, and you know, who knows what else, Incredibles 2 maybe. But, yeah, this is just a quick little, like a 5-minute freak almost.
Yeah.
But, you know, definitely it was something dealing with something that you and I have been working on the last couple of years. So I figured no one better than you to talk about this with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you added. I wasn't even aware of these. So I'm glad you kind of, because you're in his forum much more than I am. So I've been so busy with work. It's been work and then come home, eat and go to sleep. So
I got to have something to help my mind at night, because my job is just. It's killing me these days. So I have to sit there and, you know, get on here. And it's funny because I work at a computer all day, and yet I'm not, you know, getting away from the computer. Once I finish work, I get onto my personal computer and start milling around there until my wife peeks her head and says, are you going to come join us? You know, but
and be a part of the family.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'll get this canned up and put out as quick as I can.
Okay.
Hopefully before the weekend. And, you know, just I guess you and I will talk about when we're going to record our next show and figure that out. And I don't got anything else to say to you.
No, this was a fun little it was nice to have a show that's not 3 hours. So it's kind of fun to just kind of hop on, you know, and discuss something and hop off. So
I'm
kind of looking forward to it. So.
All right. Well, thanks.
Fun.
And for Third Degree Burn, I'm Brian Hughes. This guy is, what's your name?
I'm Tim Elliott.
And y'all have fun. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Good night. Thanks for listening. You can find us and many other great shows at tutufreaks.com. That's tutufreaks.com. Third Degree Burn is spelled with the number 3, RDBEGREEBYRNE, and is part of the Tutu Freaks network of shows. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Third Degree Burn, spelled with the number 3, and Burn spelled BYRNE. Compliments, complaints, and recipes can be sent to gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's gottagetburned@gmail.com. Drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. If you're interested in any of the books we cover in the show, just head over to tutufreaks.com and use the Amazon link to shop. It doesn't cost any extra, but it really helps support the shows. Until next time, this has been Third Degree Burned.